The Seattle-based environmental group Wild Fish Conservancy wants to stop the southeast troll fisheries, which they say harm an endangered population of orcas. The group has argued the government failed to adequately address the impact of Alaska's king salmon harvests on southern resident killer whales, whose population in the Puget Sound area of Washington has dropped to critically low levels. And in December, a federal judge in Washington issued a report that puts the fisheries at risk of closure. The Alaska Trollers Association is a defendant in the 2020 suit against the National Marine Fisheries Service. Sitka fisherman Matt Donahoe is the president of the Trollers Group. He says they object to the report and expect their legal expenses to increase.
Anyone claiming that southern resident killer whales are starving because Alaska trollers were taking food from the mouth of their babies would be laughed out of court. That's what we thought. Yet a judge is recommending that the historic southeast Alaska troll fishery, which for 100 years has never closed, will shut down this winter. If that happens, the industry will die, and so will a large part of southeast Alaska's economy.
Around a dozen fishermen asked the assembly to help with the organization's legal defense fund. And it's not just trollers. Linda Benkin leads the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. Both her group and the trollers drafted a report outlining research into the decline of southern resident orcas. She said the lawsuit ignores a large body of science, which indicates that pollution, not fisheries, are the biggest threat.
They're struggling with habitat issues. They're struggling with what's been done in the world around them. They're in Puget Sound. It's not even fisheries, let alone the fisheries 1,000 miles away up here. And that our fishermen have worked for years to keep the resources up here healthy, to keep our rivers clean, and to take care of the whole ecosystem, and to now have this overreach by an area that's not done their job to take care of that habitat, I think really illustrates who else will be at risk if this lawsuit perseveres.
When it came time for the assembly to consider the proposal, there was support, and some said they'd be interested in giving more than $25,000. Assemblymember Chris Yested, who's a fisherman himself, said he saw it as an investment.
I think the Sitka troll fleet produces more than $25,000 in tax revenue every year to the city, so I don't think it's too much for them to ask for some of it back to fight their battles.
Assemblymember Crystal Duncan suggested calling for other Southeast communities to throw in money.
I'm just wondering if this is a Southeast-wide problem. Rather than us take and elevate that number beyond 25,000, I guess the question is, have we reached out to say, here's what has happened since, here's how much we're requesting of Sitka, can you match that?
But Duncan also wondered whether the assembly would be setting a precedent that would lead other industry groups to request money to help with legal fees. Sponsor Tor Christensen didn't take issue with that.
I am hard-pressed to think of an event that has threatened to wipe out a huge portion of our economy in one fell swoop, which is, in my mind, that is a definition of emergency. So if somebody came forward with a similar issue, yes, we would discuss it. To me, this is like the landslide or some of, during COVID and things, because this is a real threat to our town.
And then there was a question of where the money should come from. City Administrator John Leach and Municipal Attorney Brian Hansen said the Fisheries Enhancement Fund could likely be used, but Mayor Steven Eisenbeiss preferred the money come from the city's general fund. As for whether the assembly could offer more than $25,000, Eisenbeiss noted that while no one at the meeting spoke against the measure, the assembly had received some pushback in their inbox.
I didn't expect that, but it's for better or for worse what we saw. So I think we should start here, and then as things develop, keep an eye and a pulse on that. From the people in this room and the strength of the people in this room, I have no doubt that we will be continued to be informed on that.
The Sitka Assembly didn't take a vote at the meeting. Assembly members Christensen and Kevin Mosier, who co-sponsored the discussion item, said they'd bring an ordinance to the table for the Assembly to vote on at the next regular meeting, January 24th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.